What's going on, y'all? This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker coming at you live with the weekly tech wrap up. Hope everybody's doing good out there. We had episode 19 of many more to come. It's been a rainy day outside, but we are dealing with, I think I actually stopped over this side. So I'm pretty excited about all the things we're going to be going over and some of the stuff I'll be getting into after this. But while we are here at this point, we're going to be giving you some that good old information and news of what's going on in the tech industry. But yeah, how you doing, Mike?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm alive and thriving. I always say that, but I mean, that's what be happening. Like, I'm not just letting this sit to the sideline. I'm taking advantage of every opportunity I got right now, man. So doing all right, man. I cannot complain right now.
That's good, man. Can't let COVID-19 keep us down. It sound like from all of the stuff that's going on, it may be a COVID 2020.
Yeah, yeah. I'm prepping for the winter, man. That's my main thing. The summertime is our time to do whatever we got to do, because when winter come around, that's when you never what we whatever made whatever we thought was the pandemic, that's when it's really going to hit. So
right. Facts.
Trying to do all this now.
Facts, man. But yeah, man, let's get into it. So you all know what we do here. If you're new to the show, what we do is we look at what's going on within the tech industry, whether it be a person or a corporation, and tend to give them some honest criticism of their actions or things that's going on. And if they're doing some of the right things, the things that are beneficial to people, we push them to the forefront and let you know that this is something that you can stand behind. So what we're going to jump into today, we got three hard-hitting topics, things I think that's would definitely be interesting to just anybody that hears about it. It says here at one, Epic Games kicks off a brilliantly timed assault on Apple and Google. That title, I think, honestly, just doesn't speak volumes to what's actually going on within that area of tech right now. We're going to definitely dive into that, man. Epic Games is doing something that not a lot of game developers are doing. Yeah, it's epic. Well, you know what I'm saying? With all this, you're saying, no pun intended. Secondly, ATM hackers have picked up some clever new tricks. That's depending on how you look at things, that may be a good thing or a bad thing. It could be scary for some, but yeah, we'll talk about that more in detail. And lastly, Instagram tests replacing search with Reels to push its TikTok clone. So in case you all, we talked about it a little bit last week, but you know, there's some shaky stuff going on with TikTok right now. And I will dive into it more when we have to speak about that. But that's actually pretty interesting what Instagram is trying to do. And we'll get into that. But let's kick it off, right? This is Epic Games kicks off a brilliantly timed assault on Apple and Google. So for those who don't know, what's going on with Apple and Google, these tech giants, a lot of them have their market cap of up to two. That's a lot of them. I think Apple has a market cap up to $2 trillion. That's with a T. That's trillion. And Google is pretty much right there behind them. And these tech giants, when it comes to a lot of the money that's made and their access to, you know, different things, they make a lot of money off of their app stores, right? So you have a lot of app developers out there. Any of us that use that, and it may not be games. It can be just regular things people may download, whether it be, I know I use Headspace for doing meditation and stuff like that. People use, like, I guess, like calendars and, you know, affirmation apps. But pretty much anybody that has an app on the iOS App Store or Google Play, that app store, they are paying hefty fees in order for hefty fees to syndicate a lot of their information in that apps to different people. In fact, with Apple,
the shelfing fee, like
like
Walmart, when you got like if you what is it, if you like Aunt Jemima or something, and you want to put your syrup on a shelf and that Safeway or Giant, you got to pay that shelfing fee.
Pay a fee. Exactly. Yeah, I mean,
that's how they call it. That's what Tim Jobs called it at that Congress thing. He was like, it was like a shelfing fee.
It's a shelfing fee. Yeah. I mean, I like how you put it. But the issue is that their shelving fee is 30% on all sales, meaning that whenever something is sold from the app store, like, you know, say for instance, I like to, we can use Headspace, right? I pay maybe, I think it's like $120 a year to have access to all of their meditation trainings and their events and stuff like that happens on the app. Out of that $120, Apple gets 30% of that. Mm-hmm. So what's going on with Epic Games? Well, Epic Games is responsible for bringing one of the most prevalent, I guess, fun. I don't really play the game, but one of the most impactful gaming experiences in this decade yet with Fortnite. They actually built Fortnite, as well as they are the they're the ones that created just a development platform for different games and stuff. And
Unreal Engine. Yeah.
Unreal Engine. So what Epic has decided to do, because there's been a lot of hoopla within the tech industry, and again, those who are not within the tech industry, they just, you know, use the apps and stuff like that, you really wouldn't know. But what's going on behind the scenes is that pretty much Apple and Google are deep in the developers and these companies' pockets when it comes to the apps that they have to push out. Many people may not think about this, but the only way they're able to get some get apps on the iPhone is through the App Store. On other phones or other devices, you can get apps from different places. But when it comes to the iOS, you can only get apps through the App Store. So
unless you jailbreak it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when you get into the illegal shit, you know. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You start playing around with, you know, going to jail and stuff to get an app, and not too many people are willing to take that risk. So Epic had decided to create their own Epic Store. What was it? It's two things that they did. So they already had the Epic Store that was running, I think, since 2018, but they made it where, matter of fact, I'll just find it in here. But pretty much they made it where they gave people access to download their app directly through them. And as soon as that happened, Apple and Google pulled Fortnite from their App Store. So what Epic turned around and did is they sued them, as well as they launched this video where, if you all go to the article, you'll see it, and it's brilliant. They did this immediately after. It's almost like they planned it out. Like they did this video where they have like a parody of these big like corporate company, like these big IT companies. It's difficult to really explain. I want you all to really see it.
It's a parody of a 1984 the Apple commercial. I mean, the Apple commercial that they made back in 1984. Well, I think it might have actually been 1984 or 83 when Apple came out with the first Macintosh or the Apple II or one of those computers. They made this commercial where it's a whole bunch of clones essentially sitting in front of a movie theater, and then this one blonde chick with a sledgehammer and like a spandex suit on, like a jog or whatever. She come down through the middle of the aisle and she swing a hammer, a mallet into the screen. I mean, they basically did that same thing with the Fortnite engine. They basically just animated a version of Apple. I mean, they like, if you see it, it's literally like a dude with a big head, but his head an apple with glasses on, and you're standing in front of the screen talking about how society is changing this stuff. And like, it's a whole bunch of people that's sitting down there, they basically the Apple clones and stuff like that, because, you know, I mentioned that like a while ago. I don't know if it was over here on here, but like mentioned out there, like how they used to always talk about in Glue, how they were that alternative company where everybody else was basically a clone and they were the ones that trying to come in and be different and unique. Right. And they basically flipped it around where now they are the elitists and they produce clones, and everybody else has to come in and break that down. And Epic right here is doing that same thing with that agenda. Like, they're just like, yo, we're tired of it. Basically tired of it.
What I think is brilliant about it, so just to give all the particulars, is that they created a a direct payment system that pretty much sidesteps like paying Apple and Alphabet that 30% fee. And what's so brilliant about it, man, is that Epic, of course, they don't have a $2 trillion market cap. Like, they don't have that. But because they have a lot of eyeballs, they have a lot of users who use, you know, that use, like, they're on the iOS and the Android through Google. What they've done is they have enough power to make enough noise where they're pretty much making Apple and Google in this look like, in this situation, look like the bad guys, and they're doing an excellent job at it. And what I find so good about it is that I think ethically, when we talk with just the things they break down in here, is that by it does make sense that by Apple and Google charging like between 15% and 30% just to have any through transactions on their apps, that's ridiculous, you know. And I think that by them being able to have so much, in fact, I want to find the quote in here when he basically is saying that the Apple was pretty much like the where is it at? They're saying that Apple is, oh, here it is right here. It says Apple is bigger, more powerful, more entrenched, and more pernicious. I think that's how you say that word, than the monopolist yesteryear. Epic wrote in a lawsuit, at a market cap of nearly $2 trillion, Apple size and reach far exceeds that of any technology monopolist in history. So pretty much they're saying that the practices that Apple have right now are definitely, they are disrespectful to all of what can happen or what people are trying to do within the technology industry. And Epic is doing an excellent job bringing awareness to that while still maintaining their the growth of their business and exposing Apple. And I think this is something that definitely will affect Apple and even Google in a negative way, where it kind of starts to even the playing field for people within the app space that want to make money.
Yeah. I mean, it could put the way that our laws are currently based, like, it could potentially backfire because of the fact that the laws work in the realm of, if like we're talking about the land of society that we have, when you talk about like, you can't have a store that monopolizes a whole location, like how we talk about Walmart and Amazon, because, you know, that's physical world distribution, and basically like Amazon runs the world when it comes to retail for the most part, and the only other option is like a Walmart, or if you can find a mom and pop shop somewhere. But
Kmart,
like,
might even exist though.
Yeah, like they dying out. It's exactly. Like, you find them here and you find them there. They was here. You have memories of it. Like, right. Like, yo, you know about
Kmart right here.
Yeah. You know
the
about
Amazon
the big
distribution
cat.
Store now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is now. That type thing. Like, that's where it becomes now. That's what ended up happening. But like, in the digital space, like, that's not really real estate. That's not real. That's not real land. And like, when you talk about iOS and Android, even though, you know, that's their platform, it's like, how can you say whether or not they should be able to control the market space on there, the marketplace on there, where what can be allowed to be put on there and what shouldn't be allowed to be on there? Part of the reason that iPhones don't get as hacked as much as they should is because they have that app store that protects people from themselves, because, you know, people be trying to install apps like back in 2000 when everybody had LimeWire and was getting hacked because they were trying to download all the stuff illegally and they didn't know any better. That app store sort of allowed them to, it gives them that safety guard. Like, you got to get through the app store to be able to get to the rest of the customers.
Right.
And like, the alternative is with like Google Play, where you can go through the app store, or you can cut off that functionality that'll allow your phone to be able to run an app that you didn't get from the app store. It's basically like offloading or sideloading an app. But that ends up getting them into more trouble when it comes to security and like what apps can be ran on there and what apps can do what on your phone. And it's a double-edged sword because, like, especially in the case of something like Fortnite, because when you talk about Fortnite, you're talking about kids running and installing apps, and then kids having payment access to things. And you know, if you give a kid access to your credit card, that thing basically over.
That definitely adds something different to the conversation. I ain't think of that actually.
Yeah, if kids can figure out how to sideload an app on there and they don't have to go through the app store, they can just get it from anywhere, then they gonna try to find every app that they can get from anywhere. And next thing you know, they get hacked and then it's on them. But it's one of those things, like, is it really gonna be useful for, like, this is really a fight for Epic, because they want to be able to give the developers more money, the people that make the apps, they want to be able to give them more money, because it's Epic, but it's not about Epic, it's about everybody that's going to be in the app store or the Play store. But like, just to give the developer more opportunity to make money versus potentially getting customers in more trouble because more phones getting hacked out here because it's open to them.
I think this is something that we have to sit back and see. I think that you usually don't. So we've said several times before, we are in the tech Cold War. And when the Cold War, there may be some spikes of action that happen. And then there's other times where things kind of run dry. But I'm not affected by this. I'm sitting back and looking at what's going on. And I'm just excited to see what may come of this, man, to see if Apple is able to, not Apple, if Epic is really able to put a scratch on Apple and see where it goes, man. But yeah, let's actually jump into the next article, man. It says ATM hackers have picked up some clever new tricks. So I'm reading a little bit of, and this is kind of just the idea of I was talking about this before we started the show. I think about I was trying to remember the name of the movie. It's Barbershop. Where Anthony Anderson, they stole the ATM and were trying to get it open. They were banging on it and all this crazy stuff. And somebody, I think one of the guys that he dropped it on his foot, or something like that. You couldn't walk.
Yeah,
wow, man. But
I've seen that. And if you've seen Breaking Bad, and if you've seen Terminator 2, all of these movies were like ATM stories, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, but I was saying that they probably could have used some of this stuff that they talk about in here. But real quick, in the decade since the hacker Barnaby Jack, famous in case people didn't know, made an ATM spit out cash on stage during the 2010 Black Hat Security Conference in Las Vegas, so-called jackpotting has become a popular criminal pastime. With heists netting tens of millions of dollars around the world. And over time, attackers have become increasingly sophisticated with their methods. So this is the idea, man, of ATMs. Now, we know within the banking industry, and just how things are, money is printed, right? And I don't want to get too much into that. It's not conspiracy, but just U.S. history and stuff. We're not really backed by any silver or gold as far as our money goes, which is a whole nother conversation. So the government is able to pretty much print money whenever they want to. And that's the whole thing of inflation and all that stuff like that. But it's neither here nor there. As far as this, the idea that people have been able to steal money from ATMs and get away with it, like you said, as a pastime, is something that for maybe a business owner, what comes to mind when I hear stuff like this is the lowly corner store guy that says, like, you know, ATM inside, he's sitting there getting hacked for the, you know, and it comes that, guys steal out maybe like $50,000, something like that, out of the ATM. And now that smaller business owner on the corner store has something to deal with, because when the security guys come through to pick up the money or whatever the case is, or either put it in, it's nothing to speak of or show for. So I think just the idea that this is a something that's going on, and you would think with a lot of the security measures that the government or these banks, people, like, when it comes to money, how much they bolster, like, you know, their security and how much they try to retort how it's good and stuff like that. The fact that ATM hacking is still a thing at this point is something I find funny. So what you think, Mike?
I think it's kind of great, actually. Like, part of me actually want to go back and do some research on how they doing this and test it out on a couple of ATMs and a couple of places just for research, just for research. Actually. Yeah. Like, I just want to see how it's done for real. Like it touches all my inner like hacker feels and my whole like growing up wanting to get into computers and technology and programming and stuff like that. Like I said, the whole Terminator 2 movie when like little dude John Connor ran over to the ATM and was able to hack. He put his little computer in there before cell phones were cell phones. He hooked up his little computer up to the ATM machine and spit out like 10 G's real quick. Like that gave me the vibe to be like, yo, I gotta be a programmer of some form back then. And like to see something like this still going on in today's world, like it's popping off. And like the issue with ATMs is that ATMs are kind of getting to be unpopular. Like a lot of people now are slowly starting to use things like Cash App and use things like Venmo and like just doing transactions digitally and putting their stuff in, just doing digital transfers and not really taking cash out. And it's becoming one of those things where ATMs aren't becoming as valuable as they used to be. So they're not as maintainable as they used to be. Yeah. Like what they were saying here. In some cases, like you have those like proprietary ATMs that are like owned by certain banks. Like, you know, you go to Bank of America, it's a Bank of America ATM. And what they were saying was like they would have to build out a certain type of hack just for that that Bank of America ATM versus like you were saying, one of those more generic ATMs that'll charge you like $5 just to do a transaction. Yeah. I mean,
it'll charge you $7 to $10 to take money out if you're in certain places.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're in a strip club, you know, it take like 17. I wasn't going. Hey man, I gotta put it out there. I'm the single guy. I'll put it out there. Yeah, I mean, like when you take $7 to $10, like you go to the ATM, you want to get $100, it's $107. Type shit, like, and you still giving shorty all 20s, like that's how I be. But those ATMs aren't necessarily updated. No, they rarely are maintained. They're hooked up to the internet, in which some cases that may be even a problem in itself. Whether it's hooked up to a dial-up connection or hooked up to Ethernet, and even worse if it's hooked up to just somebody's Wi-Fi in the office in the building. Like if it's just hooked up to the Wi-Fi, that means somebody with a laptop can damn near come in there and take it out.
That's wild.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking too, man, because so around where I used to live at down here in the A, there was on a corner store, like gas station corner store type of thing. Right before I hit the highway, there was a gas station that had an ATM inside of it where you're able to do Bitcoin transactions. Mm-hmm. And that's where I thought it's starting to get freaky, because if they're able to, I guess it makes you think, how far does the hacking go? Because if you get into that industry where hackers are starting to like hack, you know, Bitcoin, like stuff on the blockchain, then, and that's already like a currency, that's a digital currency. That whole thing was blockchain. We should probably even do a discussion, a couple of things on that, Mike. But you know, we get into that industry where people are starting to do like starting to hack, like to get Bitcoin and stuff like that, bro. Like it starts to get really like that. It makes you think of all of those movies they made in the past of like people doing like super hacking and like how do you envision the future to be. Like it makes it that much more close when we talk about like that type of digital currency that could potentially be hacked, or, you know, it's at risk.
Yeah, the Bitcoin is kind of designed to not itself be hacked, but it's just like any other vulnerability where it usually be the people that have the thing that makes it vulnerable. Like it's like social engineering to hack somebody because, you know, they left their password on the post-it on the monitor or something. And that's how you got into it. Like for Bitcoin, most cases where people end up getting hacked is because they just left their wallet exposed somewhere. Like somebody got access to their phone and then they just got to their Bitcoin wallet. But like Bitcoin itself was kind of designed with that whole blockchain and concept because of the ledger, the crypto ledger and all that stuff. And I ain't going to get into it, but it's a lot of computers that are watching every Bitcoin that is being dropped out to make sure that no two Bitcoins are the same and that one person that has this Bitcoin isn't the same Bitcoin that somebody else has. Mm-hmm. So like they do a lot to monitor to make sure them coins are the exact coins that person has to have. But if you still lose your phone, then all your Bitcoin gone anyway.
Right. Yeah, man, you never know that it could be something where I'm thinking, you know, I see somebody is doing a transaction. A part of the hacking process is they probably have these like micro cameras or micro like photo things they can put on the ATM to watch people's like movements and stuff, like watch their transactions and stuff. But yeah, it's similar to cash.
How they got the serial numbers on there and they try to keep account of all the serial numbers. But unlike cash, like you got a server that will tell you when you're using a Bitcoin at one place or another, whereas cash, I can just get somebody a couple dollars and nobody know that I spent that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, nobody knows where that went.
But, yeah, man, I just think that overall, like you said, it's something to think about, with be it that we have a lot of the apps now that are for like money transactions that's out there. How, like, what's the fate of ATMs within the next 10 to 15 years? Because as technology, I mean, we know how exponential the growth has been within the technology industry, right? Just with technology itself. So I don't know, man, stuff like this happens, we may be approaching an age where ATMs become truly obsolete, like not just in thought, not like just a soft band, but like a hard band. You're going somewhere and it's like, it's no such thing as an ATM. And you think like there's probably a many things in the past that because they've just been, you know, fizzled out because they are now obsolete, you know, we never knew about them. But, you know, maybe like 20 or 30 years from now, if I'm still around with my grandson or, you know, my great grandson, whatever the case is, would they even know what ATM is? But
see a deserted ATM with 100,000 and then nobody even care. That's when you know it changed. I'd be like, yo, they just left 100 grand here. Right. Bang, you 70 and you be like, yo, that's 100 grand. And then everybody else is younger. That's like, I don't need that shit. I'm doing Bitcoin.
But let's jump into the last topic, man. Instagram test replacing search with Reels to push its TikTok clone. So what's happening in TikTok land? I think if I'm recalling it right, Trump actually went ahead and signed off the ban on TikTok. So
he gave him like a countdown. He gave him a countdown.
Okay, that's what it is.
Like you got till such and such date. I signed it already, but if this don't happen till such and such date, then whatever.
You're done. But so what's going on is that TikTok has been maybe they've been in a frenzy. I think there's a lot of the, I keep saying a lot, ain't but too many $1 trillion companies, man. But there's been there's companies that have been, you know, bargaining with TikTok or, you know, extending offers to buy them. The recent one is Microsoft with, I can't remember how much they offered, but they were talking about buying TikTok. And we did a little segment on that last week where we're saying like, yeah, I would hope Microsoft, you know, in case people don't know, Microsoft owns LinkedIn. And and they were talking about with TikTok making it something where it's like for professionals or what was it?
Enterprise TikTok. Yeah.
No, I think it's a bad idea. So I think what's going on with TikTok, there's a lot of things they have to figure out within the next maybe few weeks that Trump has given them. But so what's happening is with a lot of apps, and it's kind of happened with Snapchat too. There wasn't any legal trouble or anything, but within the tech industry, what typically happens with the lifetime of an app is that when you come out with something that's relatively new, that is new to the social media world, it goes that there's a lot of buildup, right? And then when you get to a buildup, there's a lot of offers that's given to the company, you know, to be bought out, right? Like this, you know, what happened with Snapchat, it got to a point where I think Google offered them $30 billion to, you know, to just take the money and walk away, right? give them the app. And they said no. And eventually, like within the next couple of months, Instagram had came out with IG stories. And you see within the course of that with Snapchat, now I think Instagram, Facebook, and even YouTube now have somewhat, even if it's not a direct, you know, replica of it, it's very similar functionality to Snapchat. And now Snapchat went from maybe about like 500 it was like 500 million users down to like under like 100,000, like 100 million, like maybe 50 million or something like that. So said to say Snapchat is not worth $30 billion anymore. If it's worth anything. So with TikTok, they're in a situation where they either will get bought out or, and you know, the guys who are responsible for fathering the app, you know, they could cash out, you know, maybe it'd be the death of the app. I hope, you know, again, hope Microsoft doesn't get his hands on it. But what's happening here, what it's talking about with Instagram is they've already developed functionality that closely mirrors what TikTok's functionality is and seeing how, like, they're putting that within the app and in different locations have this functionality to test to see how people take to it. And I'm assuming that if it's something where people are taking to it, well, I think in the article, it hits that it tried some of that stuff before with IGTV, but it didn't really hit as hard. But if Reels, this new functionality that mirrors a lot of what TikTok does, actually starts to catch some, to get a good response from it, you may be seeing the same demise that happened with Snapchat, TikTok is facing. Now, I think right now, it's safe to say that TikTok's buzz at, you know, maybe they're not at its peak, but I think their buzz right now is definitely a little bit bigger than what Snapchat had. And we're in a space where social media apps are not anything new to the world. So for TikTok to come onto the scene, I think they have close to like 800 to 900 registered users. For them to have that many and to be caught in this debacle, I think it will be safe that, you know, whoever is at the top, they should cash out, because if not, it's the same. They think they may be suffering the same fate that Snapchat suffered. So that's my thing. What you think, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same. It's kind of weird that Instagram can continuously do what they're doing, or Facebook, let me just say Facebook, that they can continuously do what they do of cloning functionality and features and essentially moving it over. I mean, you know, I get it. Like, you know, the first car that had the air conditioner, the first car that had the windshield wipers type thing, you know, they cloned that type thing over, and now it's an industry standard type deal. But most of that probably came from like regulations where, you know, if you're driving on the road, you got to have windshield wipers if it rained type thing. Like they made it regulation so that everybody could clone it. I guess it's a similar situation here where now that it's starting to become part of governmental regulation, now it's an issue where functionality and cloning technologies there has to be some type of democratization of it where it can be just standardized and not used as a weapon against each other. And I mean that to be like, you know, yeah, with Instagram, they were just a photo app through a scroll feed. And, you know, you just had the photos scrolling through the feed, and then out of nowhere, stories came in, which came in as an answer to Snapchat. And now with this Reels feature, that's basically the answer to TikTok to take them out. And part of the issue with TikTok and the Reels thing, Instagram and Reels and TikTok in general, is that they have a lot of licensing fees that they do for all the music that they allow people to share with each other when they do those videos of, you know, doing musical scenes and whatnot. That's a lot of licensing that goes into that. That's what sort of made TikTok in itself, where other companies couldn't, because they went out and ran to get those licensing to get the licenses versus everybody else. But doing that, being able to be Instagram and just cloning a whole business model, or being Facebook and cloning a whole business model, and
you gotta get it
essentially
right.
even though it's really Instagram crazy. It's Facebook. I mean, it's Mark and right in the center of those meetings. They're not acting like they set different companies. We know when I flip my apps, two apps that's in my feed of apps that I got open is Instagram and Facebook right next to each other, and I'm flipping between both of them. Like it's very monopolistic in the way that they do their tactics. And like I always consider Instagram. I try not to use Instagram as much as Facebook. I really see Instagram as like a monkey app, and I don't want to say it like the monk, like money. I mean, like I don't want to talk bad about anybody using it, but I feel like it's a monkey app. And when I say that, I mean, it's like the app that, you remember those like 80s movies that had like the test monkeys, and they testing the little machines on there, and they They learning how to play the game and all that, and then they learn the patterns. Like, that's all Instagram really is, and it's kind of proof pudding in this article because they talking so big about changing one icon. Yeah, I mean, and changing instead of, and it's not like a big crazy thing. I mean, they bringing in Reels, but the big thing is that they get rid of that one search icon and putting the Reels icon in its place, because they know just putting that icon in its place gives people instant access to Reels. Yeah, I mean, it gives them instant access to that TV feature, and they know it's going to get a lot of activity, a lot of engagement. Yeah, I mean, just changing that one button gives a billion people access, immediate access to it in one step. I mean, and that changes the whole dynamic of what type of app it is, where people are going to really start going to Instagram just to look at the Reels, just to look at that feed, and have that be a separate feed. Like, they got the stories, they got IGTV, and they got Reels. It's basically it's YouTube on a phone. It's like a new form of television, and it's very controlled. It's very manipulative, and I just don't like it because it's so it's so simple that I know that there's a lot of tech going on behind it to track and monitor our activity, and I just don't like it.
That's what it is.
It's like, it can't, like, you can't be a billion-dollar company and coming out with an app that's this simple and just be acting like, oh no, it's just a simple app. Nah, bro, you got hundreds of billions of dollars invested in the back end. You monitoring frame by frame everything I do.
That's what I was thinking. I was saying too that, oh, not to cut you, but from a marketing like ads. I can feel the flame.
This goddamn Instagram.
But no, like, I was thinking, like, you know, so from a business standpoint, like, that gives people more opportunity. Like you said, it's more tracking, more graphics that they can, that they're able to pull from how people use the app. Because that's people, and what's also interesting about psychographics is it tracks people's behavior and the way that they think. And that's the reason why we're in this, this epidemic where a lot of people, some of the people listening here probably attest to it, where you feel like you'll be talking about something. You say you're talking about Dove soap, and then suddenly you'll open up Facebook and then see an app on your feed about Dove soap. That's what that's what it's from, is that there are these apps are starting to, because we would use them so often, they're tracking and the psychographics of the people, where they're almost able to feed people exactly what they want before they even tell them what they want. You know?
Yeah. And the worst part about that is the messaging app show. When you think you're having a private one-to-one conversation with somebody and you're talking about something that's like in a messaging app, you're talking to this one person, and then you go back to your regular feed on Facebook or Instagram, and then you see the same thing that you were talking about coming through your feed, and you'd be like, in your mind, you're like, yo, I'm having a private conversation.
Yeah.
where did this thing, this public stuff come from? And I mean, that's what it really be. That's the part that gets really manipulative. Like, if you can't separate a private piece from the public piece and make my private information marketable for you so that you can sell more stuff to me, that's when it becomes a problem. I start talking about Trojan condoms and I see Trojan advertising. I mean, like, we got a problem. Like, that's just, man,
like, this is a private conversation, like, private, like, no, yeah, pun intended, yeah,
exactly,
man.
Exactly. This is a private conversation. I mean, like, this is a private conversation. why am I seeing this stuff here? And that's when it becomes a problem.
But I think all in all, when it comes to this, man, I mean, we already know they doing tracking and stuff like that. I'm excited to see what may come of this, because, you know, I look at it as someone that's looking to get into tech, like, as far as developing apps and shit like that. Like, what are some of the things to look forward to? Because when it comes from a business sense, as far as, you know, why people make these things, it may come from a place of just innocence, or they just want to see what this app does. But we're talking about billions of dollars on the table, or, you know, that type of money that sets up, you know, generational wealth. Not to take it too much to that conversation, man. You know, it's something to see how a lot of these things unravel as far. Like, what are these people who run these companies or have these apps? Like, what is it they're thinking, or is there pride into this? I know within the technology. What is it? The Silicon Valley, I guess, app, the app world, is that they typically say for apps, you want to be able to get in and get out within 3 years max if you want to cash out before it becomes obsolete. So I just want to see what's going on with this, man. And, you know, I'm going to see if they said it's not right now. It's not locked geolocation, but it's only being used right now in different locations. So when it comes, I'll see what it's like. And
And you'll see how quickly that it floods. Like as soon as it like becomes a thing, because right now they're doing that A/B testing. So it's just being tested by some people, tested by others, not tested by others. But when they actually make it the production version for everybody, you'll see how quickly people flood to it, because it's going to be right there, the second button.
We'll see what happens, man. But that's all we got for today. I know we can keep going on and on and on about this, man. But it's a lot of interesting stuff that's happening in tech right now. Guys, if you all enjoy this content and the information so far, if this is your first time here and you've enjoyed it, or if this is your 18th or 19th time being here and you enjoy the content, make sure that you follow us on all of the social media apps we're on, as well as the podcasting platforms we're on. You can Google search us and you can find us on Apple Music. We're on a lot of different, any type of typical podcasting platform that you usually listen stuff to, we're on there. So make sure you follow us, like, comment. If you leave your comments, let us know how you feel about the content. And, you know, if something you feel like we can improve upon, we'll take heed to that. If you just want to give us congratulations and you want to congratulate us and want us to feel good, we'll take that too. And if you hate, we'll take that as well. You know, that keeps us going. So, yeah, this is our
feed off my haters. Feed off my haters. Come on, hate. Show me your hate. It makes me work harder.
Wow, man. Do you have anything else, Mike?
It's been a long day, yo. It's been a long day. But yeah, man, basically the same thing, bro. If y'all like this stuff, man, just look for us. Bohemia Media, bohemia.media. That'll get you to the website, and you can basically find our content there. There's links and everything that's so that if you want to find us on Spotify, App Store, and the Apple iTunes, Apple Music Podcast, whatever they calling it now, and throughout the Google Play, Facebook, and all that stuff. There's links over there. So just go to bohemia.media and you'll find us there. And you'll find some of the other shows too, because this is just one of the four. So you'll find all the stuff there. Just go to bohemia.media.com or bohemia.media. No.com. No.com. Long day.
It's okay. It's all good, man. This is Mike Bennett and Mike Baker with the Weekly Tech Wrap Up signing out. Hope y'all have a good day. Peace.
Y'all take it easy out there.